There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 790, May 20th, 2019. Nasser?
Thank you, sir. Back home again in Indiana. Nando has front row seat on the Greyhound bump bus, which beckons the question, who let the dogs out? Who? Back to you, Chief.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, the only thing missing was GP2 engine. Billy Monger is a super talent. And let's face it, McLaren are a bunch of clowns. And I'd like to start off with this. Bye, bye, Fernando Alonso. Drove my Chevy on the speedway when the speedway was dry. Them good old boys at Yuko's Racing said, this will be the day you get bumped. Nass, back to you.
Well, nice to hear that you are in good spirit even when the world is against you and machismo man. Big news from Brickyard over the weekend. Fernando Alonso bumped from the Indy 500 grid. Amazing but true. You know, this hombre did battle with the German Kaiser, who had financial and technical might of Scuderia Ferrari behind him. But at Indy, in the final qualifying attempt of the day, American Kaiser, as in Kyle Kaiser, who is from your neck of the woods, Santa Clara, California, kicked him out of the field in a sponsorless car entered by hombre from Argentina, Ricardo Juncos. Only 2 years ago, Alonso looked very strong when he was entered in a well-oiled machine run by Andretti Autosports with full blessing of engine partner. This could not happen this year as sins of the past came to bite him. Then engine partner Honda saying, Arigato gozaimashita, and returning the favor from Suzuka 2015, and advising Alonso's services no longer required for their GP2 engine. This left him and McLaren no choice but to partner with Chevy-powered, relatively new to IndyCar team Carlin Motorsports. One has to wonder, and maybe you can throw some light on this, Mr. Rogers, why Roger Penske did not invite him to be part of his team at Indy. Misery loves company. Alonso now joins the likes of Bobby Rahal and, believe it or not, even Team Penske. Once upon a time, they also failed to qualify for Indy 500. And that's just the way, you know, the Brickyard can deal with you sometimes. But I do hope McLaren and Alonso do a full season, as this will be great for international exposure of IndyCar racing, just as it was when Arnaich came here. But you know, on a positive note, and you're very chirpy at the start of the podcast, there is more to life after F1 and Indy 500. Baja 1000 is waiting for Nando. Double the miles, double the pleasure. Can you imagine him and Robbie Gordon teaming up in a dune buggy?
And calling it a girly car?
They can call it anything they want, the way these things have turned out for these two, what I would consider fabulous race car drivers.
Well, all I have to say is, first of all, McLaren really completely dropped the ball. They were absolutely ill-prepared, and at the end, they had the wrong gear ratio in the car. If they had the right gear ratio, he would have hit 230 easily. They're a bunch of clowns, and they fired Bob Fernley so quickly. I'm very disappointed with Zach Brown. I'm disappointed with McLaren. Let's not forget, Chevrolet is on pole. the motor was good enough.
Well, it is the dominant engine in qualifying Chevrolet. But I have to say this, you know, when you're going with a new team, even though it's a very successful team in other series, it will just take time for them to catch up to the Penske's and Ganassi's of the world. But I'm sure and convinced, had they gone with a Ganassi program or Andretti program or whatever, some established team, he would be in the field.
There's no doubt. I said it as soon as it was over. Where was Penske? Why was Penske not hiring this guy? I mean, Castro Neves is the oldest man, I think, on the grid. Let's get rid of that guy. I mean, in the end, it is what it is. And it's just one of those seasons for me where everything is just tumbling dice.
Obviously, I cannot speak for Roger Penske, but I do know Penske likes team players. And if you need to confirm this, all you have to do is check with Paul Tracy.
Yes, I concur.
And talking of Penske, Simon Pagenaud, well, this is good news for you. Your fellow Français gave the captain his 18th pole at Indy, thus becoming the first French driver to qualify on pole for the Indy 500 since René Thomas in 1919. And if I remember correctly, long time ago, Peugeot won the Indy 500, correct, sir?
Yes.
Okay, now as you know, they're coming back to the U.S. market, so that's good. Sharing the front row with him will be Ed Carpenter, a local yokel, and Spencer Piggott from Florida. And we interviewed Spencer quite a few years ago when he was coming through the system, and I think he's a good young American racing talent, so I am happy for him. Pippa Mann from UK is the only lady racer in the field, so kudos to her. And Clark, some things just don't change. This just in, Monday morning, Al Unser Jr. was arrested in Avon, Indiana for DUI for the third time. And now something very, very serious, Mr. Rogers, and I'm not making this up. Some members of F1 Weekly Familia, as you know, I'm one of them, understand the stress and misery on you from the slings and arrows pointed at Nando. First from the world of Formula One and now the wall of machismo-ness at the Brickyard has crumbled. We just have one request. Please, no harakiri. And for that, let me be the first to say, arigato gozaimashita.
Bravissimo. I'm trying. I mean, it was brutal just to watch.
So who would you like to see win the Indy 500 now? Bordet or Simon Pagenaud?
How about Pippa Mann?
Well, that will be something.
That's who I'm rooting for.
I would love to. I think it will be won by a Penske car, one of the Penske cars. But it will be great to see a first-time winner. That will be fantastic.
It'd be nice if it was won by an Andretti.
Marco Andretti?
Yeah. I mean, they made a big deal about 50 years after Mario won in 1969.
Yes, it will be very, very historical, especially on the 50th anniversary of Mario winning. That will be very, very cool, and I'm sure a lot of people will be very happy for the Andretti name. Obviously, myself included, of course. Any more thoughts before we leave the Brickyard and go to Barcelona?
Please, let's go back to España.
Okay, F1 testing in Barcelona after the Spanish Grand Prix. Well, first thing is Bottas. Is he clueless or clutchless? The pole sitter from the Spanish Grand Prix said he lost the lead at the start due to a strange vibration from its clutch. After the race, the team said there was no issue with the clutch. More likely, lack of grip was the reason. I think the not-so-cool vibration Bottas and Pierre Gasly are experiencing are coming from the talent of their respective teammates. What say you?
Very possible, since both of them really are great number twos. Bottas has been lucky lately because Hamilton is still struggling with the new car, he says. And people say struggling Hamilton is a dangerous Hamilton. But nevertheless, LCH is going to win this year. We all know that. Bottas, shut the fuck up.
To whom it may concern, right?
Si, bravo.
Yeah, I think Lewis is going to take this. And I think 2020 is going to be another Mercedes moonwalk.
Absolutely. Most people should just stay home.
Moving on to testing in Barcelona after the race, rain of misery keep on falling on the competition from the Mercedes clouds as Our new favorite Bottas set the fastest time on day one. Now Toto Wolff is quoted as saying, "It will be very hard to win all the 21 races." This must be very comforting and encouraging for other teams, especially Cyril Abitbol and Dr. Marco. Charles Leclerc was second for Ferrari, and Torpedo, also known as Daniel Kvyat, was third for Toro Rosso. Canadian Nicholas Latifi did the most laps, 133 for Williams, but was still over 5 seconds slower than Bottas. Latifi later said, and I quote, and this will be a shocker for you, "Unfortunately, we had a problem that cost us one or two runs at the end of the morning and delayed our afternoon session by a few hours." End of quote. Are you surprised at this statement, sir?
No. Typical. Welcome.
The might of Mercedes was displayed again by a driver, none other than racer from Russia with talent and tons of money, Nikita Mazepin, completing the most laps, this would be on day two, 128, and also set the fastest time. Isn't that amazing? Alexander Albon was second fastest for Toro Rosso, third and fourth for the Ferraris of Italian Antonio Fuoco and Leclerc, respectively. Red Bull hothead Dan Ticktum completed 79 laps, still trying hard to get super license. He now has a new headache called Pato Ward. This young Mexican has been very hot lately in American racing arena and is now a Red Bull Junior and will be sipping some gazpacho during the race with Nando because he also failed to qualify. But I think he has a great future ahead of him. But I got to tell you something. When I read that Nikita Mazepin driving the Mercedes for the first time, I think he's 19 or 20 years old, that he set the fastest time, I just said, okay, that is 7th world championship for Lewis in 2020. Is there anything the competition can do to win some races here?
Yes, cheat.
Cheat, or call in Tanya Harding.
Thank you.
Now, here is some good news for Chase Carey and his crew. ESPN2's live telecast of the Spanish Grand Prix attracted the largest U.S. television audience on record for the event. Very surprising. The average TV audience for the first five races in this season is 564,000. Peeps. Last year, the number was 442. So over 500,000 people watching Formula One, which is good in the U.S. In 2007, when F1 was on NBC Sports, the number was 393,000 per race after the first 5 GPs of the season. And now, sir, this is another why am I not surprised. ZZ Top of Formula One is hitting new low. Haas F1 team sponsor Rich Energy has lost their legal case over their stag logo. The white bicycle company called their local Jacoby and Myers office. The judge in the case said, and I quote, "I do not accept either Mr. Story or Mr. Kelly as credible or reliable witnesses, and I treat all of their evidence with a high degree of caution." End of quote. William Story, the founder and CEO of Rich Energy, this is interesting, Clark, told the court his company had produced 90 million cans, but had not yet filled and sold them. Sounds like a perfect sponsor for the now-defunct US F1 team. And shockingly, he is a regular on Peter Windsor's YouTube channel. Rich Energy reminds me of American oil trader David Thiem sponsoring Lotus Team through his Essex Petroleum back in the day when Mario Andretti raced for the team. He was later arrested by Swiss authorities. Chase Carey, more on him. Now he's on the Marrakesh Express. From Dien Bien Phu to Land of Bedouins, FOM is on the move. From one great destination city, Hanoi, to another great destination city, Marrakesh, Morocco. They sure know how to take Grand Prix to hotbeds of motorsports. Mr. Rogers, I'm no John Maynard Keynes on the economies of Morocco and Mekong Delta, but my guess is a grandstand ticket at these races will probably cost more than 3 months of salary for the average local yokel. But on a positive note, I cannot wait to see photo of Toto Wolff and Susie Wolff at the finest Pho Ha in Hanoi, and Lewis Hamilton wearing a purple fez after winning the Moroccan Grand Prix. Now, El Presidente of Brazil is getting more involved in Formula One affairs of his country after announcing that Brazilian Grand Prix is moving to Rio next year. Despite Sao Paulo having a contract for 2020, he is now asking state oil company Petrobras to terminate sponsorship agreement with McLaren. Sounds like nothing is going good for McLaren these days, which is pretty sad.
So true. So true. McLaren really needs to get totally revamped. And speaking of the Grand Prix of Marrakesh, they did make some good concepts with ticketing where if you bring a goat and a bucket of yogurt, that'll get you a Grand Prix seat.
And if you bring a camel, then you have a paddock pass.
It depends whether it's one hump or two.
Okay, but it has to be a normally aspirated camel, no turbocharged camels.
Bravo.
Okay, sir, now let's look ahead to Monaco Grand Prix. I mean, let me just ask you this way. Who do you think will finish third?
Fernando.
No, I think Bottas will be third.
Yeah, I don't know. He'll have a bad start. It's going to be interesting, but I'm beginning to not care anymore.
Well, it's still Formula One. You have to show the love.
I don't have to, no.
So you just want to be good time, Charlie?
I'm just going to stick with Le NASCAR.
Well, talking of NASCAR, I heard that Honda may come into NASCAR through Andretti Autosports.
And they're going to hire...
You tell me.
El Machismo.
Yeah, well, he should at least do the NASCAR road races at Watkins Glen and Sears Point. He should not have a problem winning those. That will be very, very difficult for him.
He needs to win Daytona 500.
So you have awarded the Monaco Grand Prix to Lewis Hamilton or maybe Bottas?
No, it'll be Max this time.
It will be very interesting if Max, whether through pole or some strategy... If he can get ahead, then it'll be impossible to pass this guy.
Yeah, it's going to be all about pole.
Do you know anything about the weather forecast in Monaco?
Beautiful day. Perfect day for a coffee cup with an F1 Weekly logo on it.
It'll be nice if they have some rain there, and that will really mess up the things for everybody.
No, but I heard that Nahrain Karthikeyan is going to be there.
What is he doing?
He's going to be selling cucumbers.
To the Royal Monegas family?
Si, bravo.
Cucumber. That is a classic statement. You know, if you do on YouTube and punch in Nahrain Karthikeyan or Sebastian Vettel and the word cucumber, quite a few videos and graphics come up.
I bet. It's going to be with him for the rest of his life.
Yes, sir. So there you have it, Mr. Rogers. Would you like to take a break and then we come back with MM and we have a goodie bag also.
That's a good idea. So why don't we take a quick break and we'll be back after this brief F1 Weekly message.
Are you in business and want to make a hard-hitting visual impact that gets your name and message promoted? F1 Weekly knows from experience that the creative team of Caton Designs are graphic design geniuses and a company that can give your brand a visual pop in a cost-effective way. Contact Caton Designs at ketondesigns.com for visual messaging solutions that get your business image seen.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Rogers, I just hope that you get over your cold and flu and the motorsports machismo depression you have as soon as possible.
Thank you, Nasser.
Try some Ricola from Switzerland. Okay, sir, we will start from Zolder in Belgium. DTM, the first ever DTM race took place at this track in 1984. Opening race of the weekend, this past weekend, was won by Austrian young racer Philipp Eng for BMW. Of course, like most of these drivers, he came through the single-seater ranks and then has now found a place in tin tops. First win in this series for this young man. Race 2 was won by German driver René Rast for Audi, and Eng was second. So this is good. And all these races are available on YouTube if anybody is interested. Now, Formula W, your new favorite series, was also at Zolder. Round 2 of the all-female series was won by Dutch driver Bitske Visser. Second was English lady Jamie Chadwick, who won the opening round at Hockenheim Ring. Jamie has now been signed by Williams F1 team as a development driver. I mean, you can say anything you want about Claire Williams, but she sure knows how to spot a talent. What do you think?
Could be a fetish, I'm not sure.
Now, Zolder is the track where Gilles Villeneuve had his fatal crash back in May 1982. According to the late Tom Walkinshaw, there is nothing wrong with Zolder that a bulldozer cannot fix. Now, from Zolder, we go to Francia and Le Mans Bugatti circuit for MotoGP. Win number 300 in MotoGP, or the top echelon of motorbike racing for Honda, courtesy of their two-wheel muy macho hombre de España, Signor Marc Marquez. There were three Ducati machines behind Marquez, led by the Italian duo of Andrea Dovizioso and Danilo Petrucci. Jack Miller from Australia was fourth and Valentino Rossi fifth on his Yamaha. There was more success for the Marquez familia as Alex, younger brother of Mark, won the Moto2 French Grand Prix. Now this is interesting. Ducati rider Andrea Dovizioso will make a surprise appearance in DTM next month, teaming up with Audi at Misano. The connection here is simple. In MotoGP he races for Ducati and they are owned by Audi. Now we go all the way to Nippon, Japan for the Japanese Formula 3. Round 2 took place at Autopolis. Winner was French driver who grew up in Argentina, Cordoba, Argentina, Sasha Fenestraz. Inam Ahmed, our friend, was third. Same scenario and result in race 2. Impressively, Sasha Fenestraz completed a clean sweep by winning the third and final race of the weekend also. He now has 4 wins from the first 5 races of the season. He was 2017 Formula Renault Euro Cup champion, and that's how he got into the Renault Development Driver Program. But last year had a difficult season in European F3, so then he got dropped by Cyril Abid. And now, sir, one of my all-time favorite races, the Po Grand Prix. This year they are featuring the Euro Formula cars, which is still a Formula 3 car, but this series is nothing but a fancy name for series previously known as Spanish F3. Race 1 on Saturday was won by what I consider to be a star of the future, high-flying Kiwi Liam Lawson. American racer from Baltimore, Maryland, Cameron Das was 6th. Lawson is now a member of Red Bull Brigade, and I think he is one of the hottest young talent in racing. Actually, you know, I would go so far to say among the drivers who are not in Formula 1 right now, I would rate him as the best young talent. And then, you know, it is all up to him to prove it as he moves up. The main race on Sunday, the official Po Grand Prix, was won by Billy Munger, his first single-seater win after his horrible accident a few years ago. He changed to wet tires early in the race. Now, I watched this race live on YouTube, and the race was delayed because there was a big crash in the French Super Tourisme or GT series. So the race started late and I was able to watch at a convenient time. Liam Lawson was looking good for the win, but took out race later when he tried a move that Martin Brundle would call ambition over adhesion. Have you seen any of this race action, sir?
Yes, sir. It was very exciting. Love Po, one of my favorite places in the world.
Yeah, I was there a few years ago. I went specifically to see Lando Norris win and do an interview with him. And sure enough, he had a big lead and suspension broke and his heart broke. And then, of course, there was no interview. But I did meet him and his father after the race. And he was completely, completely destroyed. But this is a great event and I would love to go there again in the next few years. And you know, it's very close to the Spanish border, the Pyrenees Mountains. It's just a beautiful scenery. Okay, sir, shall we now move to the goodie bag?
Please.
Well, you know, the Dutch Grand Prix is coming back at Zandvoort. Your thoughts on it, sir? And it probably will be at the cost of the Spanish Grand Prix. You have any thoughts on this new Dutch treat from Mr. Carey?
Well, it was necessary with all the fan base that Verstappen brings in. I think we could have kept the Spanish Grand Prix, but the Spanish government is not forking out the big dollars anymore, so welcome to Formula One.
Yeah, and the report is that the other race that's going to drop because they do not have a contract for 2020 is the Mexican Grand Prix, which will be a shame.
Indeed.
I mean, so many people go there, and it's a very... I'm actually thinking of going there, you know. I'm just going to see if it will be worth going there, especially if they're not going to race there. So I might make a run this year, but we'll see how it works out.
See.
Okay, folks, today we're going to look at the Dutch Grand Prix triumph and tragedy at Zandvoort. The first Dutch Grand Prix was in 1948, before the start of the F1 championship. This race was won by Prince Bira Bhanuban, a member of the Thai royal family, in a Maserati, and he also took part in some Formula One races. The first Formula One championship Grand Prix was in 1952 and was won by Alberto Ascari in a Ferrari. The same combo would win the race again in 1953. The 1959 Dutch Grand Prix saw first victory for a Swedish driver in Formula One, this being Joe Bonnier, and was also the first victory for the English BRM team. The BRM team would also give Graham Hill his first F1 victory in the 1962 Dutch Grand Prix. From 1963 to 65, the race was won by Jim Clark in his Lotus. His fourth and final victory at Zandvoort will come in 1967 and saw a dramatic debut win for the beautiful then new Lotus 49 and the all-new funded by Ford Cosworth DFV, which stands for double four-valve. Fire and death in 1970 claimed the life of British driver Piers Courage when he crashed on lap 22. His De Tomaso was entered by his good friend Frank Williams. Three drivers made their F1 debut in this race: Clay Regazzoni, who finished fourth for Ferrari. The other two would go on to be one-hit wonders of Formula One the following season: Peter Gethin at Monza and Francois Sivet at Watkins Glen. The 1970 race was won by Austrian Jochen Rindt. It was the first win for Lotus 72. 3 years later, history would repeat itself and claim the life of another British driver, young Roger Williamson. His car was entered by Tom Wheatcroft. In 1975, Jameson gave his good Lord Hesketh first and only Grand Prix success, and this was achieved over Niki Lauda's Ferrari. So it was a very impressive win in changing conditions. 1978 Dutch Grand Prix, last F1 win by an American driver, Mario Andretti, in his Lotus 79. His teammate Ronnie Peterson was second, and that would be his last podium, as the next round was at Monza. 1982, final Grand Prix win for Didier Pironi in the most beautiful Ferrari 126C2. 1985, last Grand Prix win for our favorite purveyor of the spaghetti culture, Mr. Niki Lauda. And finally, we come to famous last words. Today they come from a gentleman we often quote, Dr. Marco. He said, and I quote, "We took a step forward, but Mercedes appeared to have made two," end of quote. And I think by the time Williams take 10 steps forward, Mercedes probably would have made 99 steps forward. So misery will continue. The rich will get richer. Or should I say, the fast boys will get faster, and slow pokes will get even slower.
Welcome to my world, Nasser. That's just the way it is. It's going to continue like this. And it's already talked about that Mercedes could take all 21 Grand Prix of the 2019 season.
You know, performance-wise, package-wise, it's very possible. But, you know, things do happen. You know, who knows? Somebody will try to take Lewis Hamilton to unlap himself and run into him. There could be rain. There could be some screw-up in the pits. So many things can go wrong, you know.
Yeah, I know. It just doesn't happen on my time.
But I was thinking, you know, this afternoon I was on break, and I said, you know, Charles Leclerc is doing very good against Sebastian Vettel, but it's nowhere near what Lewis did in his rookie season against you-know-who.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Nass, but I'm sure in your fantasy world it's somebody like Fernando.
Yes, exactly. So there you have it, sir. And I'm sure I've mentioned this. You know, Friday I'm flying out to Cincinnati, and then on late Saturday I'm going to drive to back home again in Indiana. And on Saturday night, if all goes well, I plan to have dinner with our familia member from Netherlands, Mr. Louis Janssen, and his wife Didi. And then Sunday we will be at the race.
That's very nice. But, I mean, without Fernando, not much of a race.
Well, you know, I was really hoping to see him race at Indy because he is an icon of motorsports. It would have been nice to see him race there. But, you know, I think he has gone. I think he has left the U.S. I don't think he's staying here for the race.
No, he's already at Oviedo. I just got a text from him.
Yeah. So what next great event he will be entering?
None.
Well, there's a lot of... He can go to DTM. He can go to Blancpain Series or World Touring Cars. Anybody will pick him up except Roger Penske.
I think it's over, Nasser. I think he's done. He's tired of the clown shoes and the little red noses. He realizes that you just can't go back home again.
Well, you know, it's sad. What you're saying is very true. When a talent like him is not welcome at Red Bull, Mercedes, Roger Penske organization, you know something has gone terribly wrong. So it's time to enjoy his, you know, $200 million fortune and sell a lot of Kimoa caps and t-shirts and whatever they are selling. But, you know, on this, I have to say, you know, this McLaren thing, they want to be everywhere. They want to be in IndyCar racing, sports car racing, and Formula One. They should really focus on Formula One.
They should focus. That would be great.
Yeah, because I would hate to see talent like Lando Norris go through the grind like Stoffel Vandoorne. Yeah, and they may want to reconsider asking Honda to sing the song, Maybe Come Back.
Well, it's going to be okay. McLaren is not coming back soon. They need new leadership. Zach Brown needs to go.
Yeah, amazing how things turn.
Then you might as well just get Fernando back. GP2 engine! Ah! With every season, turn, turn, turn. F1's a season, turn, turn, turn. Yeah.
There you go, Mr. Rogers. We want to see you happy.
Happy and peppy and bursting along. Yeah, I'll be happy when I go back to 2006 in my time machine.
Better would be 2005 Imola Grand Prix. I think you would enjoy that more.
Yeah, Imola was pretty bitchin', wasn't it?
That was incredible.
That's incredible in every way.
I think if I'm ever lucky enough in this lifetime to interview Fernando Alonso, first question will be about the 2005 Imola Grand Prix.
So exciting.
Well, it'll put a big smile on his face.
It would, because that was pure machismo.
And the last question will be, of course, about the 2007 Hungarian Grand Prix.
Okay, Nass. That interview is with the physio. You like that, huh?
Yes. Yeah, I see him at the US Grand Prix. You know, he's always there with Nando.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. It brings back memories.
Oh, the memories. Any other songs?
You like that, huh? Oh, the memories.
Yeah.
Any other songs?
Well, today I have songs without words. I just want to see good motor racing at Indy 500, safe motor racing. I want to see a first-time winner at Indy. I want to see a new Grand Prix winner in Formula One. And I would like to see Ferrari also win some races, so there's some push and shove at the top. But, you know, these are all pipe dreams.
Yeah, don't worry. Ferrari will win some races in 2028.
Okay.
Thank you, Nass. I think we're done boring the audience. I'll see you at Indianapolis 500 while I'm at Monaco. I want to thank everybody who listens. Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.